My Lord Jesus, you are good, so good unto me. My Lord Jesus, you are good, so good unto me. My Lord Jesus, you are good, so good unto me. You are very good, Lord, so good unto me. And therefore, Lord, I will praise you all my days. I will praise you all my days. My Lord Jesus, you are kind, so kind unto me. My Lord Jesus, you are kind, so kind unto me. My Lord Jesus, you are kind, so kind unto me. You are very kind, so kind unto me. And therefore, Lord, I will bless you all my days. I will bless you all my days. My Lord Jesus, you are great, so great in my life. My Lord Jesus, you are great, so great in my life. My Lord Jesus, you are great, so great in my life. You are very great, Lord, so great in my life. And therefore, Lord, I will serve you all my days. I will serve you all my days. My Lord Jesus, you're faithful, so faithful to me. My Lord Jesus, you're faithful, so faithful to me. My Lord Jesus, you're faithful, so faithful to me. You are faithful, Lord, so faithful to me. And therefore, Lord, I will praise you all my days. I will praise you all my days. My God is great. Shall we stand up to pray? You are my God, O Lord. You are my God. You are my King, O Lord. You are my King. You are my today. You are my tomorrow. You are my forever. You are my tomorrow. You are my forever, O Lord.
You are my God.
You are my God. You are my King, O Lord. You are my King. You are my today. You are my tomorrow. You are my forever. You are my tomorrow. You are my forever, O Lord. You are my God, O Lord. You are my God. You are my King, O Lord. You are my King. You are my today. You are my tomorrow. You are mine forever. You are mine tomorrow. You are mine forever. Talk to me, my Lord. Talk to me today. I need your voice to guide me all the time. Talk to my spirit, soul and my body. Through your Holy Ghost, talk to me now. Unless you talk to me, unless you talk to me, my life will not settle. Unless you talk to me, I cannot be who I ought to be. But if you talk to me, Jesus, it shall be well with me. Therefore, come and talk to me. Talk to me, Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, come and talk to me now. And let me hear your voice. Blessed Lord, our Lord, we honor your name today. We magnify you, we exalt you, we glorify you. You are the Lord. Thank you so much for caring for us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for your mercy and goodness we are enjoying. Thank you for the revelation of your plan, of your purpose, of your will that you are making known to us. Thank you for all you have been teaching us since we started this series. Thank you for all you still have in mind to reveal to us. We are grateful to you, our Father. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we are before you today, O Lord, open our understanding.
Amen.
Tell us more.
Amen.
Tell us what we need to hear.
Amen.
So that it shall be well with us.
Amen.
May we not hear your word in vain.
Amen.
Let your word do your will in us.
Amen.
Father, this word we are reading, let it come alive in our hearts.
Amen.
Let it be so understandable to us.
Amen.
That we'll be able to obey it.
Amen.
And do what you ask us to do.
Amen.
And enjoy what you ask us to enjoy.
Amen.
In life and in eternity.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan, I order you, stay away from this gathering.
Amen.
You cannot operate here.
Oh, yes.
You are a liar.
Oh, yes.
Stay away in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord Holy Spirit, take control of our hearts.
Amen.
Plant your word in our hearts.
Amen.
And let it bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Another amen.
Amen.
My God is great.
My God is great.
Welcome to Bible Pattern Church, where we pattern our lives according to the Word of God. This is a church where the Word of God is being preached without adulteration, where the power of the Word is being demonstrated, enjoyed, and the true miracles of God is being experienced every time. The message you're about to listen to is preached by Pastor Z.A. Ogunsanya, the General Overseer of Bible Pattern Church. He is a very anointed but humble man of God, dynamic pastor, teacher, evangelist, and songwriter who practices what he preaches. Our church headquarters is located at end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karole Estate, by Estate Bus Stop off College Road, Ifako Ijaya, Lagos State. You will definitely have a touch of God as you listen to this message. Remain blessed.
We are continuing our studies from my book titled The Miracles of Jesus. We have studied for 12 weeks.
The last topic we studied was the miracle of the healing of the centurion's servant. Through the study, we are able to see the wickedness of Satan, because he was the one tormenting the servant. We are able to see the care of the master, which was an example for us to follow. And also we are able to see the demonstration of faith that the master demonstrated by saying Jesus should just speak a word. And we could see the power of the word of Jesus, because as Jesus spoke the word, the miracle was done. He said that all these wonderful examples are for us to emulate so that we can enjoy the goodness of God like they did. Today, we have a very notable miracle to study: the healing of the man born blind. Hallelujah. We have the story in John chapter 9. From verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Praise the Lord. That was the story in a nutshell. On a previous visit to Jerusalem, according to John chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus has healed an impotent man on the Sabbath day, for which, and his claim that he was the Son of God, the Jews attempted to stone him. Praise the Lord. That should be chapter 8. If you start the reading from verse 52. They told him that he had a devil, because he told them that he was Abraham saw his days. He said, "Abraham had died long ago. You say you see your days." They wanted to stone him, but he hid himself. But Jesus continued to do more miracles. On the day they expected him not to walk. So in John chapter 9, verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Jesus actually opened the eyes of many people. We have at least 6 specifically recorded in the Bible. Though there are other cases that are not specifically mentioned. I just told that he opened the eyes of the blind, caused the lame to walk, performed all kinds of miracles. The story illustrates many truths of the Bible. Hallelujah. From this story, the following can be seen. Number one, Jesus is a healer. In enjoying the healing of Jesus, man has his part to play. He told the man to go and wash his face. When somebody receives the touch of Jesus, especially when a man is saved, others will know it. This man was able to see, and people noticed that, this is the man that has been begging here. If truly he is born again, people around him will know. Those who sell beer to him will know, this is the man that we used to sell beer to. He's no longer coming to buy. The cigarette seller will know he's no longer coming to buy cigarettes. His sinning partners will know he's no longer part of their evil activity. And when a person is born again, everyone that got genuinely born again in the Bible used the opportunity they had to preach the gospel. Even the man that has been a madman for so many years, the Bible says he publicized Jesus throughout the whole of the region of Decapolis. There was even a man Jesus asked not to tell anybody of the miracle, but it was too amazing to him that he couldn't shut up his mouth. He so publicized it that Jesus could not move around openly. So this man actually seized the opportunity to witness Jesus. Because they asked him in verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how are thy eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. And I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. A person that is genuinely saved will face persecution. After this man received his healing, people brought him to the Pharisees, not to celebrate with him, but so as to be questioned as to why he was so ungodly, unholy, that somebody asked him to carry his mat, to go and wash his face on the Sabbath day so that he could see, and he to agree to wash his face. He did not prefer to remain blind all his life so as not to break the law of the Sabbath. They felt that that was a very high level of infidelity, wickedness, and evil doing. So they brought him before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees asked him. They persecuted him. Persecution is part of Christianity. Yes, they questioned him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say may, it says shall. If it is truly you have accepted Jesus, people will question you like they question the man. Parents and friends may forsake you. Because when they told the Jews that the man was born blind, they brought him, they saw he could see very well. The eyeballs, you were in honor, beloved Jew. How come that you are able to see? Is that a man called Jesus used clay to anoint my eyes? He said, I should wash my face. I wash my face and I'm able to see. He was. Okay, glorify God. The man is a sinner. I don't know if he's a sinner. But one thing I know is that I was blind and now I'm able to see. But come, Jerry, does God answer sinners? How can a sinner open my eyes? Since the world has started, we've not heard that somebody opened the eyes of a man born blind. You know, it was depression of the man because of the limitation of his knowledge. Then they said, go and call his parents. They summoned his parents, and the parents came. They said, yeah. Is this your son that you say you born blind? How come that he's able to see? So, one thing we know is our son, he was born blind. Why he see? We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. The Bible says the parents said that because the Jews have agreed among themselves that whosoever acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah will be thrown out of the temple. It will be excommunicated. So the fear of excommunication made them to say they don't know, but they knew. So they said he's of age, let him answer for himself. And they asked the man, Ngo, how did you open your eyes? He said, I did not believe. Then why are you asking me again? You want to be his disciple? They say, you this stupid boy, are you teaching us? We are disciples of Moses. You are his disciples. They threw him out of the temple. There is no record that he was begging them. But do you know that the devil tried to snatch the miracle from him? That has always been his attitude. In verse 24, then again called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. I don't know if you understand. Say it is not the man that healed you. Say it is God that healed you. So give the praise to God. As for this man, agree he's a sinner. But thank God, when you are truly born again, the Bible says when they take you to the council, don't premeditate what you will answer. The Spirit of God will give you wisdom to answer. So, when they questioned him again in verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How open he thy eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore will you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Yes, that one is born again does not mean he knows all things. He can make mistakes. The sermon of that man was not totally correct. Hear him. Then they revived him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous? It's a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he had opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not hard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That theology is not correct. People have used this as a foundation for sermon, and they have used it to preach error, claiming that it is in the word of God. I have told you time without number that the Bible is the word of God because God caused everything written there to be written. That's what makes it the word of God. God is not the author, or rather the sayer of everything said in the Bible. He is the word of God because he caused everything to be written. But in it you have the word of men, you have the word of angels, you have the word of Satan, you have the word of demons, you have the word of good men, you have the word of bad men. You have correct words, you have incorrect words. They are all jammed together there. But God said the writers shall write. So what the writer wrote was that the man born blind said. The man born blind said does not mean God says it. So I've told you, it is wrong for a believer to just open his Bible. Then anything you read, you see that as the word of God. The Bible is not written that way. When you open your Bible to read, you want to know who said what I am reading. Where was he said? To who was he said? About what he said? Why was he said? Before you determine whether it is the word of God or not. So there is, I have told you that the revelations of God contained in the Bible are progressive. Meaning, there is no passage of the Bible that contains everything God wants to say about any subject. I repeat, there is no passage of the Bible that contains everything God wants to say about any subject. What God says about various subjects in the Bible are scattered all over the Bible. And therefore, to determine what God is saying about any particular subject, you will need to go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, looking for every passage that talks about that subject. When you bring what all the passages about say about the subject together, you compare scripture with scripture, and you interpret scripture in such a way that one does not contradict the other. It is only then you are determining what God is saying about that subject. So if you take the theology of this man and make it foundation for his sermon, you will preach error. The man talked because of the limitation of his knowledge. Among the things he said that are not totally correct was that God does not hear sinners. For all of you, you are the evidences that God hears sinners. The day you asked Jesus to save your soul, did he hear you? Did he save your soul? Who are you that day? A sinner. So if God doesn't hear sinner, why did he hear you that day? And some of you are even having evidences of praying to God about some issues, even when you are not born again, and you knew God assisted you. You say you got the benefit of salvation in advance, whether advance or in arrears, you got it, sure. God does not promise to give sinners power to open the eyes of the blind. That's correct. But that God does not hear sinners is not 100% correct. Is that understood? So, I said that a person is born again does not mean he knows all things. Out of zeal, young believers many times preach error because of the limitation of their knowledge. But as they continue to understand the will of God more, the way of God more, they realize that what they have been saying was not correct. Anyone who gives his life to Jesus may be driven out of their home, church, town, office, etc. Persecution is a good part of Christianity. So, in verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. What is said simply like that, they cast him out, it's not a matter of just pushing him out. It's a ceremonial. They actually excommunicated him, meaning he must never come back into that temple to say he was to worship God. But Jesus will not forsake such a one, for he has become an object of the love and care of God. So in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they will see not my see, and that they will see might be made blind. If you are truly saved, this is how it will be with you. I hope you are not deceiving yourself. This incident, I mean the healing of the man born blind, contains a lot of other lessons for us to learn, both physically and spiritually. We are going to look at more of them under the following subheadings. 1. Jesus is very good. 2. The cause of the blindness of this man is not revealed. 3. The night is coming. 4. Jesus is the light of the world. 5. Jesus is the creator. And lastly, part to play. We quickly take them one by one. Number 1, Jesus is very good. Our Jesus is so good to the extent of not just waiting for people with problems to come to him for help. He was personally going around to look for those who needed his help and was helping them. So this was what brought about the miracle of this man. In John chapter 9 verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He said, where was he going that he was passing by? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was actually going about looking for those who needed help, those who needed assistance, those who needed miracles, and was doing it for them. Today, many of those who are enjoying his goodness are ignorant of the fact that what is happening to them is not happening by accident, but as a result of the goodness of Jesus towards them. This goodness of God does not come to anyone by accident. God always deliberately shows mercy to whoever enjoys his mercy. Exodus 3:19 says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Praise the Lord. The miracle of God cannot be stolen. In those days when we were in Cherubim and Seraphim, there is this song we used to sing. Jesus buried Ale Mohe. Mohe means I pick it. Jesus drop goodness. I pick it. You can't only hear. If Jesus wants to give you goodness, he will not put it on the floor. He will put it in your hand. So if there is any good, any miracle, any blessing of God you have ever enjoyed, whether you think you are qualified or not, whether you knew how it came or not, God deliberately gave it to you. That we will say, who are you that God will notice you and give you? It just happened to you by chance. It's a lie, oh. Big lie. God deliberately gave it to you. Say, when I was doing wrong, when I wasn't a believer, when I was a sinner, yeah. He gave it to you so that you have a taste of his goodness. He's using that as an instrument to pull you to his side. The goodness of God does not just fall on anybody. He deliberately gives it to people. That was what happened to that man. So Jesus deliberately went to look for him. Look at it. The Bible says Jesus was passing by. He saw him and healed him. When they cast him out, Jesus was passing by again and saw him. The Bible says Jesus went to, Jesus heard that he has been thrown out of the temple. So Jesus went to look for him. But to him, Jesus was just passing. And Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? You know, he didn't know Jesus. He said, who is the Son of God so that I can believe? He said, the one that is talking with you. And it's all misery. He now knelt down. Hallelujah. This was the saying of God, Paul the apostle referred to in the next scripture. Romans 9:15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. All those goodness of God you have enjoyed in the past, God deliberately made them available to you. The goodness of God you are enjoying today, God making it available to you. Number two, the cause of the blindness is not revealed. So many heresies have been preached using this scripture that a man is deformed either from birth or after is not necessarily a proof that such a one or his parents have committed any special offense, or that he or they are demonic. Verse 2 of John 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Personal and immediate sin is not necessarily involved in the imperfection of reproduction. Mental, moral, and physical wrecks are caused by the fall and sin of man, by satanic powers, by continued depravities and sin, by imperfect, undeveloped selves, and by overwork, worry, accident, and violation of natural laws. This is an antithetical reference Bible. When a child is born with any defect or deformity, people can give it whatever interpretation they like. So we even say it is the witches that have gone to tamper with the baby in the womb. But there are a lot of things that could lead to a child being born deformed. The way the pregnant woman uses her body, the kind of food, drug, and other things that the pregnant woman consumes. Some families are already, and what resulted in the deformity of the child in the womb was actually the beating of the father, beating the mother when the mother was pregnant. It has been said that any woman that smokes, drinks alcohol, or any other hard drug, it is possible for her to give birth to a baby deformed. But even then, as it is today, there is this belief that if somebody did something in the past, when he's being born today, it will reflect in the way he will be born, because of the erroneous ideas that people have that somebody can be born more than once physically. They call it reincarnation. Everybody, reincarnation is a lie. Say it. No man reincarnates. No man. You are born once. Once you are dead, you can resuscitate temporarily, but you cannot reincarnate. And you will resurrect finally. Hear me now. When you are born and you died, you can resuscitate temporarily, you cannot reincarnate and you will resurrect finally. Let me explain it. When Jairus' daughter was sick and died, and Jesus went there and raised her back to life, she resuscitated. She did not resurrect. The Bible says Jesus was the first to resurrect. You say, what's the difference between the two? Jesus resurrected not to die again. That girl resuscitated to see die again. So anybody that comes to life and will see die, that's not resurrection. When you resurrect, you die no more. The idea of reincarnation is common with this Eastern religion. Hare Krishna, all these Rosicrucian, all these gurus and the likes. In fact, Buddhism, Shintoism, and these other isms also believe in reincarnation. But reincarnation has no place in the Word of God. What actually caused the problem of this man is not stated there. The disciples wanted to know what caused the deformity of the man that was born blind. Go and read that scripture again and again. Jesus never answered that question. All Jesus said was that the work of God will be made manifest in the man. And really, this did not mean that God had put the problem in the life of the man so as to receive glory for himself by the time he removes it. No. God is too good to do that. God does not put problem in the life of somebody and then come back personally or through his servants to remove it and then get glory for his name. That would be a fraud. God don't do such things. When people bring problems upon themselves, when accident bring problems upon people, when Satan and his agent bring problems upon people, God removes the problems and take glory for himself. But God does not put problems in the lives of people and come back to remove it so as to get glory for himself. Am I understood? So Jesus was not saying that this man was born blind so that the work of God will be done in him for God to have glory. That's not what he said. All he was saying was that the work of God will be done in the man. So the theories of reincarnation and pre-existent sins has no basis in the Word of God. For example, according to Dick's Annotated Reference Bible, Hindus identify the sins of a previous life with afflictions of the present. For example, were for a reference to parents. So in Hinduism, if you are having headache constantly, call it migraine, constantly, they will say, when you first came to this world, you did not respect your parents. That's the result. Epilepsy for poisoning someone. So if one has seizure or epilepsy, they say, yes, when you first came to this world, you killed somebody, you poisoned the person. Pain in the eyes for coveting another man's wife. Blindness for murder of mother. They have specific deformity allocated to different sins. So when you are born with blindness, they say when you were first born, when you first came to the world, you are the one who killed your mother. If you are having pain in your eyes constantly, they say, when you first came, you coveted another man's wife. These are nothing but the suppositions of men who disagree perfectly with the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says? Isaiah 55 verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Revelation 3. The night is coming. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can walk. What the Lord is saying here is that a day is coming when we will not be able to do some of the things we are supposed to do, but we are not taking very seriously now. This is one of the reasons why we must not allow the spirit of procrastination in our lives. You remember when God sent two angels to bring Lot out of Sodom, the Bible says Lot was lingering. Why was he lingering? What can we take? What can we not take? How do we do it? How do we not do it? And they say we should not look behind once we continue the journey. What do we do now? As he was lingering, the angel held his hand at the hand of his wife and daughters and pulled them out of the city. And thus God showed him mercy. Unfortunately, the wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. A disciple told Jesus, "Let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said, "Follow me and let the dead bury themselves." Praise the Lord. You remember the case of the 10 virgins. 5 virgins came back and said, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." They've lost their opportunity. Judas repented according to Matthew 27. Some of you might not be keeping that in your heart. Let me read it again. Matthew 27:3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He repented, he did restitution, yet he hung himself and went to hell. So this is what the Lord says about the rest of us who may be lingering today, who may be procrastinating today. Luke 13:25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence ye are." So in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we have golden counsel. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with that might, for there is no work that defies nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave without thou goest. The next point, Jesus is the light of the world. John 9:5. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. What are we doing? We are looking at the lessons we can learn from this miracle of the opening of the eyes of the man born blind, and related sayings and issues. This statement does not mean that Jesus had an equal among men who could be a replacement for him. What he was saying was that men of the world were able to enjoy his physical presence when he was in the world. But after his return to heaven, the people of the world will only be able to enjoy his light, true believers who will be the reflectors of his light. Please take note. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, he said. That suggests that if I am no longer in the world, I stop to be the light of the world. But that's not what it meant. It will continue to be the light of the world, but the world will not be able to enjoy that light because it's not in the world. That was why in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give a light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How will the people of the world see the light of Jesus through us today? Through the good work we do. Nevertheless, he remains to the world. We can understand that from what John said about him. John the Baptist, recorded in John 1 from verses. There was a man sent from God John the Beloved said it when he was talking about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. This is what the Bible is saying to believers in Christ because of this. Ye are the light of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What you need to bear in mind here is that the people of the world will be able to see the light of Jesus through us, through the type of life we live. When we walk, when we live as children of light, it means anything of darkness is not found in us. Lie is of darkness, cheating is of darkness, drunkenness is of darkness, reveling is of darkness, fornication is of darkness, idol worship, idolatry is of darkness, adultery is of darkness, quarreling, fighting, they are all of darkness, anger is of darkness. So anything that is of darkness will not be found in us, and thus the world will enjoy the light of God through us. Point number 5. Jesus is the creator. John 9 says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation saying. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. This is a clear evidence that just as the Bible says, Jesus is the creator of the world, man and everything in the world. Read that in John 1:1-3, 1 Corinthians 8:6, Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:10, Hebrews 1:1-2. There is nothing missing in the life of anyone that Jesus cannot reproduce, even the life itself. Lastly, man has a part to play. Verse 7 of John 9. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation saying. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. What happened here shows that in some cases, Jesus may expect one to first do a thing before he will be able to enjoy his miracle. This is one of the reasons why we need to listen. The Bible says when you go to the house of God, prepare to hear more than to have offer the sacrifice of a fool. A lot of people go to church today to enjoy the miracle of God. But if you say Bible study, they have no time. If the sermon is becoming too lengthy, they have no time. But if you say there is prayer, miracle, It is why we are studying the Bible, you will hear the word of God. And the word of God will help you to know what you need to do if you are going to enjoy the miracle you are desiring. Because almost all the promises of God contained in the Bible are conditional. There are things you must do if you are going to enjoy them. So I read some passages to you. John 2 verse 7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. You see it? He asked them to fill the water pot. He asked them to take the water to the governor of the feast. That was how he performed the miracle. There is no record that Jesus lifted up his hand and blessed the pot. There was no time the Bible says Jesus said, water become wine. The miracle occurred when they did what he asked them to do. Your miracle will come when you do what he asked you to do. Your amen is now shallow. Don't you agree with the second part? When I said the first part, you shouted amen. Hear the two. Your miracle will come when you do what he asked you to do. Anybody who tells you the miracle will come without you playing your part is deceiving you. Matthew 17:27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish. The fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. When he was to provide Peter with money, he did not just throw the money down. He said he should go to catch a fish. In Mark 3:5, when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch for thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. That was a man that was having a crooked hand. You know what? A lot of miracles we should have enjoyed, we are unable to enjoy. Because at the time God will tell us what to do to enjoy the miracle, we are not there. The composer says, oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I want to add to that song that is not only carrying everything to God in prayer. Listening to God also has its own part to play. If you carry the burden, the problem to God in prayer, if you don't listen to him, at the time he performed the miracle, he may ask you to do a thing. It is when you have done what he asked you to do, you enjoy the miracle. Many of the miracles Jesus performed, he did not even pray. Receive miracle. Be blessed. Be healed. Many times he will just tell you, do this. That's the key. He gives you the key. You know what that means? He has thrown the ball into your court. So, if you do what you ask you to do, you get the miracle. If you refuse to do it, you deprive yourself of the miracle. So in Luke chapter 5 verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. That day that Peter caught a lot of fishes, he caught it because he did what Jesus said he should do. In Luke chapter 5 verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he says unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. So if you continue like that, you see many more scriptures where Jesus said that something should be done. Even in healing Lazarus, bringing Lazarus back to life, the first thing he said was that they should take away the stone. Usually we say, do this. And when you do this, the miracle will follow. There are conditions attached to most of the promises of God recorded in the Bible. It is after one must have found out and meet the conditions attached to a particular miracle he is desiring before one will be able to enjoy such a miracle. So in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, the Bible says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So as a form of conclusion, I'd like to say that the comment of scholars on John 9:31 will be of help here. Let's look at John 31, what they said. Firstly, John, there'll be Dick's Annotated Reference Bible. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, he may heareth. This statement of the blind man should not be taken as a direct statement of God. It has been used for generations to prove too much that no prayer of any sinner will ever be heard of God. It should be understood only in connection with what was uttered. God does not use sinners to heal the eyes of the blind, and if he were not of God, he could do nothing. To take this as proof that no sinner will ever get any kind of prayer answered is erroneous. For God has heard sinners in all ages, and will always do so if they pray the right kind of prayers. Examples of hearing sinners: Jacob for prosperity in Genesis 28, Israel for deliverance in Judges 3, 9, 15, Judges 6, 7 to 10, Judges 10, 6 to 18, Judges 20, 18 to 28. Ahab for mercy in 1 Kings 21, 25 to 29. Manasseh for mercy, 2 Chronicles 33, 9 to 13. Sinner woman for pardon, Luke 7, 36 to 50. Publican for pardon, Luke 18, 9 to 14. Nobleman for healing, John 4, 49 to 53. Cornelius and house for salvation, Acts 10, 1 to 6. Acts 11, 14 to 18, 15, 7 to 13. He has not promised sinners any particular answer other than forgiveness if they repent, 1 John 1, 9. But if God in his goodness chooses to hear other prayers of sinners, that is his privilege, and no statement of a blind man can tie his hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are still other comments in the book that you can read on your own and be blessed. That was the miracle of the healing of the man born blind. It has shown that nothing is missing in any life that Jesus, you know why? He made man originally. If anything tampers with any part of man, it will simply reproduce that thing and fix. Let's stand up to pray. Is there anything missing in your life and you are trusting Jesus to replace, to restore? You can talk to him about it. Peace, peace of mind, joy, joy of God. Is it any organ of your body? Are you sick and expecting Jesus to heal you? Is a wonder worker, is a miracle worker. He can do all things. Seize this opportunity to pray. We've had so many testimonies in the past of those who prayed during Bible studies and received miracles. You have heard the word of God. If you believe and you are willing to obey, you enjoy the good of the land. Talk to the Lord now. In Jesus' name, talk to the Lord. Ask him to do it in your life. Something is missing in your family. Something is missing in your business. Something is missing in the life of your loved one. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Almighty Father, for the study of today. Make this word to come to fulfillment in our lives. In the name of Jesus. I have told your children that there is nothing missing in their lives that you cannot replace. Whatever is missing in the life of anyone partaking of this study here or elsewhere, Replace in Jesus' name. Restore in Jesus' name. Give us good health. Sound health. In every part of our bodies. In our souls. In our spirits. Prove to us once again that you are alive. That you are our maker. That with you is no impossibility. We believe you. Bring your word to fulfillment. I pray for everyone partaking of this prayer that which he needs in his physical life, in his marital life, in his business life, in any other area of his life, you will supply. Thank you, Father. May we never forget your word. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
We trust you have been blessed through the message you just listened to. To enjoy more faith-lifting messages that will prepare you for today and eternity of blessedness, visit Bible Pattern Church Headquarters, end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karaoke Estate, by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijayi, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide. Or visit our website www.biblepatternchurch.org. Contact us today for any godly counsel you need. Feel free to send your prayer requests to us and share your testimonies with us. You can also send your questions to us at BiblePattern1983@yahoo.com or BiblePattern1983@gmail.com. Bible Pattern Church is a living church where you can learn the way of God, know the mind of God, and do the will of God that will lead you to your home above. Bible Pattern Church, the only Bible, is our pattern in all things.